All right, Joe, we'll say good morning. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Nun Gimel 53. And we are picking up Emir Tzah Hashem, B'Shah Tov, Mitzlachos, Nun Beis and Beis 52b. We are picking up at the Mishnah. We thank our sponsors. We thank our sponsors for this morning's Shira, Talmud Torah sponsors, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, for dedicating the Shiurim, this Shiurim and Drashos this month, Le'alias Nishmos, their grandparents, whose beautiful lessons and teachings continue to inspire and live within their children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, Moshe ben Shimon Leva Levi, Sara Leah Bas Dov Ber, Menachem Mendel ben Dov Ber, Sarayita bas Yaakov Sender, Noach ben Avram, Fega bas Meir, David Shimon ben Yisrael, and Sarah bas Yaakov. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Ari and Haley Lichterman, for dedicating the Shiurim this week, Le'ilui Nishmas Haley's mother, Linda Kotin, Rachel Leah bas Ruven Meir. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors this morning, Bernie Lichter and family, for dedicating the Shiur in memory of his mother, Rachel Vita Bas Yaakov, and our Mishpacha, for dedicating the Shir this morning, Le'ilui Nishmas, my grandmother, Malka Bas Akiva. We hope that in the merit of all of our Talmud Torah, that the Neshamos have an Aliyah, and the families in the Chama. But it's also important for us to note that today is Yom HaZikaron. Today is the day when, in Eretz Yisrael, in Medinat Yisrael, we remember all of those who have given their lives to establish the state, to protect the state, all of those who have died as victims of terror. You know, we very often, I think, I'll just spend a moment on this, but I think for many of us, the last couple of weeks may have been the first time that we haven't taken Israel for granted. You know, most of us were born into a world where there was a state of Israel. But, you know, for the first time in my life, is the first time that I couldn't get to Eretz Yisrael. Right, in the airport, I think the airport is still closed. Right, the airport is closed. You could not get there. Who amongst us remembers such a thing like that? We were born into a world with an Israel with open borders. We were born into a world where Israel was always accessible. It was just the cost of a plane ticket. And for the first time in our life, you know, we felt what it was like. And I felt an incredible amount actually of like existential anxiety about this. The notion that my ancestral homeland was not accessible was something that was very disturbing and unnerving. But yet we know Baruch Hashem is just a temporary thing, because we are privileged to live with the state of Israel. We are privileged to live with the incredible gift from the Ribono Shel Olam of once again having unfettered access to our homeland, where there's a proliferation of everything, of a first world economy, of yeshivas, of no matter how you want to live as a Jew, those opportunities are open and accessible to you. And that gift, which is a relatively young gift of only 72 years, is an incredible matana for which we must have unbridled hakara satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. But we must also recognize that that gift comes with an incredible price tag. The price tag of so many lives, so many incredible neshamas, men and women, who have given their lives so that ultimately, again, Am Yisrael could have the great zechus of Eretz Yisrael. And so we dedicate our learning this morning, Le'iloi Nishmasam, and we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give them a special place in Gan Eden for their selfless service to Am Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send their mishpachos an incredible nechama, and halavai, their sacrifice should inspire us to figure out what we can sacrifice and what we could do for the benefit of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael as well. And I will say with that, let us begin. The Mishnah says as follows. Chamar Yosemar Das. So I will say, still on the topic, the who knew that there was so much to talk about with animals going out, with what they could go out with on Shabbos. Who would have thunk it? But again, alas, we see there is plenty to speak about, Baruch Hashem. So the Mishnah goes on. Chamar Yotzeh b'mardas b'zan shikshur lo. A donkey could go out to us. A mardas is a saddlecloth. So interestingly enough, a saddlecloth was often worn by a donkey, as we're going to see, even when the donkey did not have a saddle. The saddlecloth was often worn just in order to go ahead and keep the donkey warm. So the donkey could go out on Shabbos as long as the saddlecloth is tied on. Which makes sense, because again, the concern would be if the saddlecloth is not tied on, it could fall off. And ultimately, again, if it falls off, then halacha lemaisa, the owner may come to carry it in Rishus Harabim. Zucharim Yotzin Levuvin, Rechelos Yotzin Shchuzos, Kavulos, Kavunos. So we'll say, we'll define these terms in the Gemara, but Zucharim Yotzin Levuvin, which sounds like, again, Male sheep could go out in pairs. Rechelos, ewes, could go out. Shechuzos, kavulos, kavunos. We'll see exactly what that means. Ezim, yotze sururos, goats, could also go out in pairs. Rabbi Yossi, oser bekul. Rabbi Yossi says all of these things are oser. Again, we'll define in the Gemara what exactly Rabbi Yossi is asering. Chutz min harechelim ha-kavunos, with the exception of ewes that are kavunos. Well, so I say, obviously, even without defining the terms, the Mishnah seems to be talking about kind of like tethering or tying animals together with something. Obviously, you need something to hold the animals together. Rabbi Yossi seems to be arguing and feels that one may not go ahead and tether the animals together on Shabbos, with the exception of the ewes. Again, we'll define this. Rabbi Huda says, Izim yotzos tsururos liyabish avolo lichali. Rabbi Huda says that Izim, goats, can go out liyabish. So we'll say what this is referring to here is as follows. Sometimes they would go ahead and tie a bag onto the udders of the animal, to the udders of the goats. And I will say, so there would be two reasons why you would tie a bag onto the udders of the goat. Either because you want to catch the milk, right? You don't want any of the milk to go ahead and go to waste, or because you want the milk supply to dry out. So Rabbi Huda says that ultimately, again, you can go ahead and a goat could go out on Shabbos with the bag tied to its udder, assuming that it's being tied to the udder to dry out the milk supply. Right, so we'll say, because what's the chap over here? So apparently when you tie it to the udder to dry out the milk supply, you tie it very tight. So because you tie it very tightly, then at the end of the day, there's no concern that the bag will fall off and that the owner may come to transport it in Rishas HaRabim for Dalai Lamas. Good. Again, we'll see in Mir Tzashem. We'll see exactly the parameters of these halachas. Top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, 53a. Amar Shmuel. So we'll say now we're going to begin our discussion regarding the saddle cloth. All right, so remember again, as Rashi already pointed out, halacha lemaisa, remember, everyone knows, classically, a saddle cloth is worn underneath the saddle so that the saddle should not go ahead and be abrasive against the skin of the animal. So in that respect, the donkey is not any different, except for the fact that halacha lemaisa, the donkey will still often wear its saddle cloth just to keep it warm. As we're going to see, donkeys are habitually cold. So therefore, again, they would often just wear the saddle cloth just to keep it warm. So even in the absence of a saddle, right? We'll say there would be no reason why a donkey would wear a saddle on Shabbos. No reason why any animal would wear a saddle on Shabbos, because a saddle is used for riding. You can't ride an animal on Shabbos. The saddle cloth, however, the Gemara is saying, the Mishnah is saying, can be worn because it provides warmth to the animal. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel gives a qualification. Vukshik shurlo, that's only if the saddle cloth is tied to the donkey. Because we'll say, obviously, the concern would be that if it's not tied to the donkey, if the owner leaves it out on Shabbos, so what could happen? The saddle cloth could fall off. And again, the concern with falling off is the owner may come to carry it, Dalet Amis and Rusha Sarabim. So the Gemara says, so Vuhuk Shikshulam Erev Shabbos. So Shmuel says, the saddle cloth has to be tied onto the donkey already from Erev Shabbos. Amrav Nachman, Masnisin Nami Dekob, Diktani, our Mishnah seems to support this idea, because what does the Mishnah say? Eina Chamer Yotzi B'Mardas B'Zan Shenek Shurlo. So the Chamor, the donkey, cannot go out with the saddle cloth if the saddle cloth is not tied onto the donkey. Say, Hechi Dami, what's the case? So we'll say, if you're going to say, if we're talking about a case where ultimately, if you're telling Mishnah is coming to teach me that you can't go out with a totally untied, right, or untethered saddle cloth, that's obvious. Pshita. Dilma naf lile va'asile asuye. Then we'll say, ultimately, again, because there the concern would be that maybe the saddle cloth will fall off and a person will come to carry it. So the Gemara says, Elo lav shena kshura me'erev Shabbos. So therefore, what is the Mishnah coming to exclude? The Mishnah is coming to exclude a case of a saddle cloth that was not tied onto the animal at the onset of Shabbos. So I'll say, and therefore again, the Mishnah is coming to teach me that if you want to take your donkey out on Shabbos with the saddle cloth must have been tied there already from Erev Shabbos. Michlal d'resha shekshura lo. So we'll say that's the Diyak in the Mishnah. So the Diyak in the Mishnah teaches me that it's not just enough ultimately, again, that the saddle cloth be tied onto the donkey, but the saddle cloth must have been tied there already from Erev Shabbos. Tanya, Mihachir Baisa, that supports this. Chamor Yotzi B'Mardas, Bizman shikshur lo me'erev Shabbos. A donkey could go out with its saddle cloth as long as the saddle cloth was tied there already from Erev Shabbos. Velo bo'okof. But interestingly enough, the donkey cannot go out with the saddle. Afal pi shikshur lo me'erev Shabbos. Even if the saddle was tied there on Erev Shabbos, the donkey still can't go out with a saddle on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Af bo'okof. I'm sorry, not yet. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Vomer, Af Bo'okof, Bizman Shek Shulam Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon argues on the Tanakama. Well, so the Tanakama holds like this. Donkey could go out with a saddle cloth. Why? Because a saddle cloth, again, provides warmth to the donkey. With the qualification that the saddle cloth is tied onto the donkey from Erev Shabbos. But the Tanakama holds, not with a saddle. Can't go out with a saddle. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds, the donkey could even go out with a saddle, provided that the saddle was tied there on Erev Shabbos. Why does the Tanakhama allow for the use of the saddle, for the donkey to wear the saddle if it was tied there on Erev Shabbos? Because the Tanakhama holds, the saddle also provides warmth to the donkey. So because the saddle provides a non-riding function, right? Because the saddle provides the ability to provide warmth to the animal, therefore, halacha lemaisa, you could tie it on even on Erev Shabbos. Ubevach lo yikshalo masrichin, ubevach lo yifshalo ritzua tachas navo. So I'll say, so apparently, the way a saddle used to work was, a saddle would have two straps. There would be a set of straps that would go like across the chest of the animal, the front of the animal, and then another set of straps that would anchor the saddle by the tail of the animal. So obviously, because if the animal is going uphill or downhill, you don't want the saddle to move. So Rabbi Shmuel says, while it is true that you could tie a saddle onto an animal on Erev Shabbos, because again, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the saddle provides warmth, and therefore again, the animal can go out with it on Shabbos. If it is tethered to the animal on Erev Shabbos, you cannot put you cannot tie the straps, the front straps or the back straps of the saddle to the animal, because we're going to say that's only necessary when for riding the animal or when the animal, for that matter, is traveling uphill, downhill. But because over here the saddle is just being used in order to warm the animal, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you could put it on if tied on Erev Shabbos, but you can't tie the straps. Boy, mini Rabasi bar Nasan, mini Rabbi Chiya barav, Bravashi. Ma'o litin mardas al gabe chamor b'shabbos. So mostly that's the following shaylo. Can you go ahead and put the saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos? Mostly, so as much as it appeared that we already spoke about this, the Gemara is revisiting the issue. Amar lei mutter. He said, yes, you can go ahead and put the saddle cloth. So what does this mean? We just said before, you can't put the saddle cloth on the donkey on Shabbos, and the saddle cloth has to be tied onto the donkey. So what's happening? Look at Rashi. We'll say, remember again, the Mishnah is talking about a very specific case, about taking your animal out to the public domain on Shabbos, right? Remember again, what's the title of this perek? Bameh Behima Yotza. We're asking, if I want to take my animal out to the public domain on Shabbos, what is my animal, quote-unquote, permitted to wear? And what can't it wear? So what we just learned is that halacha lemaisa, if you want to put the saddle cloth on your animal, if you want to take your animal out to Rishus HaRabim, to public domain on Shabbos, I will say, what are we always concerned about? We're concerned that none of the animal's accessories should fall off, and you, the owner, may come to inadvertently transport it on Shabbos, Dalid Amis in Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, for example, we said before, that halacha lemaisa, if you want to take your animal out wearing its saddle cloth, no problem. It just must be tied onto the animal already from Erev Shabbos. Now the Gemara is asking a different shayla. I don't want to take my animal out. I'm not taking it out to Rishus HaRabim. I'm happy to let my donkey just shpatir in the chatzah, in the backyard. Can I put the saddle cloth on my donkey on Shabbos, but I'm not taking my donkey out to Rosh Hashanah just to warm my donkey in place, right? It's a warming in place, right? I want to go ahead and just warm the donkey in my backyard. I'm not taking it out to Rosh Hashanah. So can I do that? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Mutter. So yeah, that is permitted. That is permitted. Amar Lei V'chi Ma Bein Zeh Lo Okof. I said, if that's the case, then why can't I put a saddle on my donkey in the chutzar. In the chutzar, I'm not taking the donkey out. But the Gemara is saying, just like the saddle cloth is mutter, why wouldn't the saddle be mutter? Ishtik, he was quiet. Esve raised the kasha. Ukov shagabi chamor lo yitaltalena biyado. Ela molicha umevia bachatzar. Funofa me'ilo. So now the Gemara quotes another braisa. The braisa says that if the animal is already wearing a saddle, halacha lemaisa, ultimately, if you want to get the saddle off the animal, a saddle, Rabbo says, mukta. Because a saddle is mukta, you cannot remove it by hand, but what can you do? You could have the animal walk back and forth in the chatzar, run back and forth in the chatzar, till the saddle falls off by itself. Hashta litol amrit lo. So say, if you're telling me now that I can't even remove the saddle from the animal, laniach miboy, it kind of goes without saying that halacha lemaisa, I can't put a saddle on the animal. Amr b'zira, shafkein, leave him alone, because kirabei sirale, d'amr b'chia bar ashi, amrav, tolin trasko lebehema b'shabis, v'kal b'chomer lemar da'as. So we'll listen to this. Because we'll say, he holds like his Rebbe, because what did Rav say? Rav says, you could go ahead and literally suspend a feedback. Traskel, we're going to Rashi, this is Sal Malei Seorim, Tolun La Betzavara, Upi Anasul Nosocha, Va'ocheles, V'tanog Ba'almuhu Shalot Titrach Lasuach Tzavara, or Lasuach Tzavara La'aretz. So let's listen to this. A feed bag, Kishmo Kenhu, they would put a bag around, tie a bag to the mouth of the animal. What's the chap of a feed bag? So that the animal shouldn't have to bend down in order to go ahead and feed. That was the whole yisod. It wasn't a necessity. It was mamish just there in order to make the animal's life a little bit easier. So we'll say, so ultimately, if you're permitted to go ahead and tie a feed bag to the mouth of the animal, then what? B'shabes kavachomer lemardas. Then certainly you could put the saddle cloth on the animal as well. Because we also remember again, the assumption of is why is it, what purpose does the saddle cloth serve? The saddle cloth ultimately, again, is for the warmth of the animal, meaning the animal will be distressed if it's cold. So if halacha lemaisa, you could tie a feed bag onto the animal, and the feed bag is just there, you know, for non-necessary purpose, in other words, the feedback is just to make the animal's life a little bit easier. If you could tie in a feedback, then what? You could most certainly go ahead and put the saddle cloth there in order to warm the animal. Uma hasun demishum tainug shari. If by the feedback, the only thing you're doing is giving the animal, quote-unquote, some additional pleasure. Shari, hacha demishum tzadokol shekin. Certainly, again, then the saddle cloth, which alleviates tsar, alleviates discomfort, by warming the animal, will certainly be permitted. Ushmul or Mishmuli, on the hand, will say, Mardaas mutter, traskal aser. This is actually very interesting. So Rav holds that halacha lemaisa, both the saddlecloth and the feed bag are both mutter. Now, again, even though they're very different things, the feed bag is a luxury item, right? It's luxury, meaning it's a non-necessity. Yet, all it does, it makes the animal's life a little bit easier. Rav says, no problem, you can use it on Shabbos. And all the more so, of course, you could put a saddlecloth on the animal on Shabbos. So again, just to be clear, when we speak about putting a saddlecloth on the donkey on Shabbos, that is presupposing that what? Your donkey is staying in your chatzar. Because remember, as we saw before, the only time you are permitted to take your donkey out to the public domain on Shabbos with the saddlecloth on it is if the saddlecloth was tied there already before Shabbos. We've transitioned now. We're speaking about what can you do with your animal in your chatzar. So Rav says, you could put on the feed bag, you could put on the saddlecloth, no problem. Shmuel or Shmuel says no. Mardas mutter, traskol aser. Shmuel Rabose, on the other hand, goes ahead and disagrees with Rav. And he says, the saddlecloth is absolutely mutter. Why? Because it is there for the alleviation of tsar. It remedies discomfort of the animal. Traskol, but tying on a feed bag, is a total, it's a non-necessity, and therefore cannot be done on Shabbos. So we'll say, there's another discussion in general, which we have not yet focused on, which is halacha lemaisa, balichayim on Shabbos. So we'll say, animals are muktzah. And the only really thing you could do with animals on Shabbos is to provide for their immediate. You could feed your pets on Shabbos. If you need to walk your pet, you could do this, because those are for the benefits. But like, the truth is, you can't play with your puppy on Shabbos. So you can't, meaning animals are muktzah. Animals are muktzah. So only those things which are necessary for the benefit of the animal can be done on Shabbos. So therefore, again, Shmuel says the feed bag is not necessary. So because it's not necessary, you just can't involve yourself with it. The blanket is there for the alleviation of the tsar of the animal. That you absolutely are permitted to do. So we'll say, watch this. So the Gemara says, also Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Amar l'Shmaita d'Rav Kamei d'Shmuel. So listen to this, it's an incredible story. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef told over the ruling of Rav in front of the Shmuel. So remember again, Rav permits not just the blanket, not just the saddlecloth, but also the feed bag. So Rav Chiya told this over in front of Shmuel. Shmuel, remember, says saddlecloth is mutter, feed bag is aser. Amar lei, so let's listen to this. Shmuel says, Ihachi Amar Abba, if Abba, that's a reference to Rav, if Abba said this, Lo yoda b'mili d'shab savalo klum. That's pretty strong words. He clearly does not know Hilcha Shabbos. Right? If Rav is going to go ahead and say such a thing like this, to go ahead, and I will say Abba in this context, Rashi points out, means chaveri, my friend. If my friend Rav is permitting the feedback, then he clearly does not know Hilcha Shabbos. Ki salak Rabbi Zera ashkechel Rabbi Yamin bar Yefes. So Rabbi Zera went and he found Rabbi Yom Bar Yafes, who was sitting over and relaying this ruling in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Nosnin mar das agabi chamar b'Shabbos. You could put a saddlecloth on top of a donkey on Shabbos, but say, presupposing that you're not taking the donkey out to Rosh Hasharabim. Amar le Yashar, said to him, Shkoyach. Good ruling. V'chein tirgama aryoch b'bavel. And Aryoch said the same thing in Bavel. The Rabbi say, who's Aryoch? Aryoch, Rabbi say, we're going to see is Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Manu, who's Aryoch? Shmuel. Aryoch, Rabbi say, ultimately, again, was a nickname that they gave for Shmuel. Again, we'll see that ultimately, again, Rashi points out that Aryoch was a contraction of two words, Lashon Recha Melech. So it was like a Babylonian word or a Persian word for king. Shmuel, Rabbi say, was considered to be the primary halachic decisor, and therefore he was known as Aryoch. So the Gemara says, Vahar Rav Nami Amra, but Rav also said that you could put a saddle blanket right on the donkey on Shabbos. It wasn't just Shmuel who said it. Rav said it as well. The difference was, remember again, that Shmuel ends off the, remember not Shmuel, excuse me, that ultimately, again, Rabbi Yamin bar Yafes ended off the teaching by saying, not only can you put on a saddle blanket, but you can't put on a feed bag. Amar le Yashar, so to that, Rabbi Zera said, Rabbi Yamin bar Yafes, Shkoyach, V'chein tirgama aryoch b'bavel. For this is the same ruling that Rav gave in Bavel. Namely, Rabbo said that halacha l'maisa, to put the saddle blanket on the donkey on Shabbos is going to be permitted, assuming that you're not taking the donkey out to Rosh Hasharabim. Because remember, again, you can take a donkey out to Rosh Hasharabim on Shabbos with a saddle blanket, provided that the saddle blanket was tied onto the donkey prior to Shabbos. But, says Shmuel, feedback will be usher. Dichuli ama mias mardas mutter. So we'll say, but one thing becomes clear from this whole discussion, which is everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, you could put a saddle blanket on a donkey on Shabbos. Again, I'll say, remember again, if you're keeping your donkey in your chatzar, you're not taking it out to Shabbos, everyone, Shmuel, Rav, everyone agrees that you could put the saddle blanket on the donkey. So the Gemara says, let me just ask, mashnami okaf, but I don't understand, why is this any different than a saddle? Right? The saddle is unequivocally muktzah, right? You can't put on the saddle. You can't go ahead and take off the saddle. So why is the saddle cloth mutter and yet the saddle itself is muktzah? So the Gemara says, Shani hasam de efsha de nafal mameila. But say, here's the difference. The difference over here is shani de efsha de nafal mameila. Because ultimately, again, look at Rashi, Abba say, de nafal mameila, kediktani molichu mavio lechatzer vu nafal me'ilav. Ultimately, again, because the saddle has the ability to fall off by itself. Rapapa Amar, kan lechamimo, Kan Litsanar. Our Papa says, no, here's the fundamental distinction. He will say, this is very interesting. When do you put on a saddlecloth? When the donkey is cold. So when the donkey is cold and you want to warm the donkey, that's when you go ahead and put on the saddlecloth. When do you take off the saddle? You take off the saddle only to allow the donkey to cool down. Apparently, the saddle itself is not really put on for the purpose of warming the animal. It would just be removed on Shabbos for the purpose of cooling off the animal. L'chamama isleit sara. So we'll say when a donkey is cold, it has significant sar. It has significant discomfort. However, interestingly enough, litsanana less leit sara. But we'll say interestingly enough, when a donkey is hot, although it might be a little bit uncomfortable, it's not an acute level of discomfort. So now here's the distinction. The only reason on Shabbos that you would have to remove, so apparently putting a saddle on a donkey does not really contribute that much to its heat. So there's no license to put the saddle on. To take this saddle off would go ahead and allow the donkey to cool down a little bit, but the donkey is not really considered to be distressed when it's a bit too warm. When is the donkey considered to be in a state of acute distress? When it's cold. Therefore, there is the license to go ahead and put on the saddlecloth on Shabbos, but not to put on, or for that matter, take off the saddle. Behind the Dami Inshi, and this is what people say, Chamra afilu betkufas tamas kriyale. Donkeys are always cold. That's what people say, apparently. Everybody says donkeys are always cold, right? Even in Tammuz, right? Tekuvas Tammuz means even in the middle of the summer, everyone says donkeys are always cold. Good. Meisve, lo yetze hasus bizanav shual velo bizor. So now continuing a little bit further. You want to ask a kasha. A horse should not go out bizanav shual. This is very interesting. So apparently Rashi points out that horses used to go out with like a fox tail hanging down between their eyes. Why? This apparently was for Ayin Hara. Okay, whatever it means. Right, so ultimately, again, you can't take your horse out with the fox tail between its eyes on Shabbos. You also can't go ahead if the horse had some type of string. Zuhuris literally means like red string, tied onto it for decorative purposes. You can't take it out for decorative purposes. So we'll say this in general is an idea that according to this Rosh Hashanah, we'll see taking an animal out with decorative items is a big machlokes as to whether or not that's called a burden or that's called a tachshit. Is it called a burden and therefore you can't take the animal out with it? Or is it called a tachshit, an adornment in which you can? We'll see this later on. So the Gemara says, V'lo yetzi hazav b'kishalo. So we'll say, furthermore, we've actually seen this before. A zav, who is a man who is experiencing emissions, would often wear a kiss, some type of pouch, around the aver. The reason he would do that would be to catch the emissions. So I'll say, the idea would be, because remember, he has to catch the emissions, because Rashi points out, remember, there is a case of a regular Zav who is Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, and then a Zav Gadol, who could be an individual who has multiple emissions, which could then trigger the obligation for Shiva Nikiyim, as well as Karban. So therefore, Aloch Lamaisa, he has to have a kiss in order to go ahead and catch the emissions. The Zav cannot go out with that on Shabbos. Velo izim, Rashi says, "Bekishlo shetolun lo ba'amosel kabozov livdok minyan riyos." So she'in the tachshit. I'm both say that's not considered to be an adornment, right? That's not a tachshit. So therefore, if he goes out with it, ultimately, again, it's as if he's carrying an item. Velo izim bekis shebedadeyen. So again, I'm both say we saw this before in the Mishnah. The goats cannot go out. So I'm both say so they would sometimes tie a bag to the udders. So a goat cannot go out with the bag tied to its udder. Now, in this case, we'll say over here, the bag was being tied to the udder in order to catch any milk that was dripping out. Or Rashi says, sometimes if the udders were enlarged, there was a concern that they would get scraped. So the bags would be there ultimately, again, to protect the udder. So you can't wear that out on Shabbos. You can't take the animal out on Shabbos with that, because that's not considered to be a tachshit. That's not considered to be an adornment, but rather it's a masui, it's a burden. So the Gemara says, para b'chasam shebepia. Nor can you take a cow out with its muzzle. Right, so sometimes a person would muzzle the cow. You can't take your cow out ultimately again with its muzzle. Below sayachim betraskalin shebepiem. As we'll say, sayachim are colts. Colts, you can't take out colts, horses, young horses. You can't take out colts with their feed bags. Nor can you take out an animal with its shoe. Then I will say, now this is actually very interesting. So this is not a horseshoe. Right, the horseshoe, of course, you could take that as part of the animal. This wasn't like a type of shoe that they actually would put on the animal so that the hoofs should not get harmed by stones. So you can't take the animal out with this Rabbim on Shabbos. And furthermore, again, this is actually very interesting as well. You cannot go ahead and take an animal out with an amulet, even though it's an amulet that has proven effective. Again, we'll have to see the parameters of that halacha as well. So the Gemara says, chomer bebehema mi ba'adam. And all of this represents ultimately, again, a chumrah that animals have over people. Now, I will say, we're not exactly sure what this statement refers to. Rashi says, bepashtas, it refers to amulets. That you can't take an animal out with an amulet around its neck, even though, again, a person can go out on Shabbos with an amulet which has proven effective. Again, we'll see the clarification of this. Avol yotzi ba'aged shal gabi maka, but an animal can go out with a bandage on top of a wound. Then an animal can go out with, so the Gemara says, ubikashishin shal gabi hashever. And if the animal has a splint on a broken limb, the animal could go out with a splint on Shabbos as well. Ubishloya hamidul delasba. I guess if the animal has begun to give birth and the placenta is hanging out of the animal could go out with a partially exited placenta as well. Upokikin la zug shebitzavara. And if an animal has a bell, the animal could go out with the bell, assuming that you plugged up the bell. So the idea would be over here is you don't want the bell to ring. Again, we'll discuss that. Rashi says over here, aval kisheino pakuk afilu b'chatzar lo teitzei, mimnei sha'in bal besocha mekashkesh. Because let's remember again, if the bell is not plugged up, the bell makes noise. You can't have the bell make noise even inside one's own chatzar on Shabbos. But halacha l'maisa, if the bell is plugged up, the animal could go out with it on Shabbos. Materialis imo b'chatzar. The Rebbe says, we're going to see, you can't take an animal with a bell out to Rosh Hashanah, even if the bell is plugged up. And the reason for that is because if people see an animal with a bell, that's often how people took an animal to the marketplace. So it looks like you're conducting commerce with your animal if it's wearing a bell. But in your chatzar, as long as the bell is plugged up, it's going to be totally okay. So they will say, so what do we see from here? Katani mihas for lo seyachem traskel and shivapiyam l'shesarabim. L'shesarabim hudalo habachat shabdam. Also remember again, what did the Braisa say? The Braisa is singing about colts. And what did it say about colts? That colts ultimately, again, colts cannot go out with a feed bag. So it's only to Rosh Sarabim that they can't go out with a feed bag. But yet, again, if you're going to keep your horse in your own chatzar, it sounds like what? You can go ahead and attach the feed bag. To which the Gemara says, are we not talking about, again, adult animals? And you see that you can go ahead and attach a feed bag, even though what? Even though the feed bag is a non-necessity, it's not necessary, but yet you can still go ahead and attach it. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, biktanim umishum tsar." The Rebbe say, in fact, the only time on Shabbos you could use the feed bag is when with young animals. So we'll say, apparently, young animals, specifically horses, have very high knees and short necks. So because of that, it's painful for the animal to bend down and feed. So because for young animals, feeding in a normal way creates pain, the feed bag is there for the alleviation of tsar. And therefore, that fits into the general paradigm that anything you need to do for the animal, well, not anything, but things that you do for the animal to alleviate pain are permitted to be done on Shabbos. Tekenami diktani, so you have a brisa that supports this, Amid Beis. Right? Do me a dekimi, excuse me. That the case of the feed bag is like the case of the amulet. And also we're going to see when would you use an amulet? Only to combat illness. Again, we'll discuss amulets in a bit more depth when it comes to amulets by people, but you'll use amulets ultimately again to combat illness. Just like the amulet is talking about illness, so too the case of the feed bag is also quote-unquote by illness. Not as much illness, but rather the better statement would be discomfort. So if it's difficult for the animal to feed normally, you could attach the feed bag. So I just want to point out, the feed bag itself is still a point of contention in Rav and Shmuel. Rav saying it's mutter, Shmuel saying it's usser. Everyone agreeing that the saddle blanket for the donkey ultimately again about this. We'll say what you begin to see is as follows. What you begin to see is, in order for an animal to go out to Rosh Hashanah with an item, the item really has to satisfy two criteria. Number one, it has to be a quote unquote necessity for the animal. Number two, you have to have removed the concern that the object may fall off and may be inadvertently transported by the owner on Shabbos. If, however, you are not taking the animal out to Rosh Hashanah, but you're just going to keep the animal in your chatzar, then apparently as long as the item is necessary to alleviate tsar for the animal, then halacha l'maaseh, you could put it on the animal even directly on Shabbos. Listen to this. Samar said, an animal cannot go out with a kamiyah with an amulet. And I will say, so again, remember, people would write amulets. And again, we're going to see this sugi later on, so we're not going to spend too much time on that, especially given the time. People would write amulets, and they would wear the amulets as a way of combating illness. So the Gemara says, an animal cannot go out with an, obviously this is dealing with mystical things, but an animal cannot go out with an amulet on Shabbos, Even if the amulet is proven to work. Ava bishu mumcha, v'ha nantinan v'lo b'kamiyah she'ina mumcha, ha mumcha shaper dami. But Rabbi said, 1 second, we learned, now, the Gemara is quoting by a person, that a person could go out on Shabbos with an amulet that is proven to work. How we prove that, we'll discuss. A person goes out with an amulet that's proven to work. He only can't go out with an amulet that's not proven to work. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami shena mumcha." So I see right when we see that the animal can't go out, it means the animal can't go out with a proven amulet. I vaha afa pishu mumcha katani. But 1 second, that's not what it said. It said the animal can't go out with it, even if the amulet is proven. To which the Gemara says, "Mumcha la adam veina mumcha la behema." We're talking about an amulet that is proven to work by people, but is not proven to work by animals. So ultimately, again, an animal cannot go out on Shabbos with an amulet, even if that amulet is proven to work by people, if it has not been proven to work by animals. So the Gemara says, what? Umi yika mumcha la'adav lahavi mumcha lebehema. Is there such a thing as an amulet that could work for people but doesn't work for animals? The Gemara is presupposing that if you have an amulet that works by people, it certainly works by behemoths. To which the Gemara says, no, in Adam de Islay Maslo, Miseyele, Behema de Leslay Maslo, Lo Miseyele. Both say it's not true. Because remember, an amulet, it doesn't just work by itself, but it works together with the muzzle of a person. So a person who has muzzle, the amulet could work. A behema which doesn't have mazel, the same amulet may not work. Now we'll say, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. What does mazel mean? So we'll say we often translate mazel as luck, right? But Rashi says, no. Mazel means maloch shalom umeilitzalov. Now we'll say every single person has a maloch, right? Their own personal angel, Rashi says, and that maloch advocates for you. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, because I have a malach and you have a malach, each of us has a malach who advocates for us. That's why ultimately, again, the kamiya, the amulet could work. An animal, on the other hand, does not have a malach to ultimately go ahead and advocate, because it doesn't have a malach to advocate. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the amulet may not work. Now, we'll say, truth is, again, Just so you keep in your mind, even this notion of mazel, the way Rashi defines mazel, not everyone, as we're going to see when we get to the sugya of kamiya, we're going to talk about amulets by people, but not everyone defines mazel in the way that Rashi did, right? Rashi defines mazel, again, ultimately as referring to a maloch, your own personal angel. Just bear that in mind. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ihachi, Maizuchar Behema Miba'adam. So we'll say if that's the case, then ultimately, again, why does the Braisa say this is a Chumrah that Behema has over Adam? In other words, we'll say if you have a Kamiya that works by people but doesn't work by behemoths. So of course a behemoth can't go out with it. But why does that represent a chumrah stringency that behemoths have over Adam? To which the Gemara says, no. Mi sarvis ha-kamiya koi, asandal koi. No, that statement wasn't talking about kamiya. That statement was talking about sandal. It was talking about the shoe. That whereas a person, of course, could go out with his shoes on Shabbos, a behemoth cannot go out with a shoe on Shabbos. We'll say again, remember, this is not talking about like a horse shoe. This is talking about an actual metal shoe that apparently was sometimes put on a behemoth to protect the hooves from stones. A behemoth cannot go out with that type of shoe on Shabbos, whereas of course a person can. So Tashma, Sochin, Umefarkisin la Adam, Vim Sochin, Umefarkisin la behemoth. Who's listening to this? Literally translated, what this means is as follows. Sochin means Rabbi say you could rub with oil. Umefarchesin. Mefarchesin means scrape. So we'll say, so what they're really referring to is as follows. If a person has a scab, so sometimes the way they would remove a scab is you would put oil, rub oil on the affected area, and then once the skin was softened, remove the scab like that. So a person could do that, a human being, a person could do that on Shabbos, but you can't do that for an animal on Shabbos. My love de ikamako mishum tsar. I'm not talking about a situation where there's a wound. There's a wound and there's pain. And the Mishnah is permitting you, the Brice is permitting you to do this to alleviate pain of a person, but you can't do it to alleviate pain of a behemoth. But that contradicts what we said before. Because before in the Bible, what did we say? We said that halacha lemaisa on Shabbos, you can do things to alleviate the pain of an animal. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, lo, the gamra mako mishum tainuk. No, what are we talking about? There's no more mako. There's no more wound. This Rabbi say is rather quote unquote for tainuk, for pleasure. In other words, Rabbi say, sometimes a person has a scab. The scab isn't painful. The scab doesn't bother me. The scab doesn't do anything. But I would prefer to have the scab removed. So a situation like that, a person could do that on Shabbos, but you cannot do that for an animal. So we'll say, remember again, this goes in line with the only involvement you could have with your animal on Shabbos is that which is necessary for the animal or for the alleviation of the pain of the animal. But additional things that you would normally do for your animal during the week, you do not do on Shabbos if they are deemed unnecessary. Tashma, Beima Sha'ach Saddam. So let's listen to this. Ach sadam means the animal became sick on Shabbos. So what's talocho? Ein ma'amidin osa b'mayim b'shol shetitztanis. We'll say, so apparently, under normal circumstances, if an animal became ill with this ach sadam, let's say it happened during the week, so what you would do is, if it was during the week, you would put it in a pool of cold water to cool it down. The Gemara says you can't do that on Shabbos. However, on the flip side, adam sha'ach sudam, we'll say if a person became ill, so on Shabbos, so what do? Ma'amidin also b'mayim b'shul shetistani. You could put the person in a pool of cold water in order that he cools down, lower his body temperature, ultimately again to heal him from this achizas dam. Amar Ula, Shabbos say, so why can't you do this for the animal? Why can't you put the animal in a pool of cold water? Mishum schigas samarim. Wow. Shabbos say, so now we come to the sugya. Now we come to the sugya, ultimately, again, of refuah on Shabbos. And we're going to see it in greater depth later on. We'll say, you are not permitted to engage in medicinal processes on Shabbos because of the gzera of srika saman. Remember, again, the concern is, if we allow you to engage in the process of medicinal healing on Shabbos, you may come to crush or to grind herbs to make medicine. Crushing or grinding herbs, right? Techina, grinding, is one of the lamites malachos. So Chazal, in order to ensure that you do not come to grind herbs on Shabbos, essentially prohibited any form of medicinal healing on Shabbos. So therefore, again, if my animal is sick, I cannot go ahead and put it in a pool of cold water in order to cool it down out of a concern that I may come to go ahead and make medicine, crush herbs on Shabbos. I adam nami. But honestly, if that's the case, then why do you allow the person to go into a pool of cold water on Shabbos? Does that not look like medicinal healing? The Gemara says, adam nira kimekar. Because we'll say sometimes a person just goes into a pool of cold water on Shabbos just to cool down. That's not uncommon. And we'll say, remember again, before Gezeras Merchatz, which we learned about over the first days of Yom Tiv, before Gezeras Merchatz, There's no problem with bathing, right? Taking a cold, going into a pool of cold water on Shabbos. It's only once Gezeiras Merchatz came along that you can't do any of these things. But it would be common for a person, if it was very hot on Shabbos, to go into a pool of cold water. So what the Gemara is telling me is like this. The Gezeira against medicinal healing really only covers things that are clearly medicinal in nature. But things that don't look medicinal in nature on Shabbos could be done. So for example, I will say, I'll give you a perfect example. According, right, you're not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. Now, obviously, I will say there are many qualifications. If a person is ill or a person needs medicine, we're not talking about that. But let's say Stam, person has a little bit of a headache. I'm almost sure you wouldn't take medicine on Shabbos. Person has a little bit of a sore throat. You wouldn't take medicine on Shabbos for that. But Lamaisa, if a person wants to drink tea, I am drinking tea to soothe my throat. That's true, but tea is also consumed by people who are totally fine. So, meaning the prohibition of engaging in medicinal healing on Shabbos are only things that look clearly medicinal in nature. But things that are done by perfectly healthy people as well are mutter. So therefore, again, a person would cool down in a pool of cold water. So the Gemara says, So apparently people would not normally cool down their animals in a pool of cold water. But I will say, do we go ahead and make the gezeira against medicinal healing by animals? If your animal is standing outside of the tchum on Shabbos, so if you're the owner, could call the animal and the animal could come to you. And I will say, what are we not concerned about? We're not concerned that maybe since your animal is outside of the tchum, you shouldn't call for it to come because maybe you're going to go outside of the animal and retrieve the animal. So you see from here that we don't make gezeiros regarding your animal on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, V'lo gazrin and dilma asi la'asuye. We'll say that case is different. Why? Because the case over there is where I gave my animal to a shepherd, but yet the animal still has my tchum, and the tchum of the animal is absorbed within my tchum as well. We don't have to get into the technicalities of the case. The point that I was just trying to make is that Allah HaMais is not a good raya. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, the truth is, the gzeira of medicinal healing on Shabbos, lest you come to grind up herbs, is in and of itself a machlokes tanoim. The sanyo behema shachal krishin lo yiritzena bechatzir b'shosha tisrape. For Rabbi Oshia Matir, supposed to listen to this. In general, there is a discussion about whether or not this gzeira of schikas samanim, the gzeira of medicine on Shabbos, does it apply to animals or not? Does it apply to animals or not? Rashi says tanaihi. The whole thing is a machlokas. Because for example, let's say my animal overate. My animal ate too many krishin, right? Krishin is vetch. It ate too much. Now the animal is sick. So we'll say the way you would normally take care of that is you would cause the animal to run back and forth on the chatzar until the bowels loosened and the animal defecated. Once that happened, then the animal would feel better. So can you actively run your animal back and forth over the course of your chatzar in order that it should be healed? So ultimately, again, the first opinion says no. Rabbi Oshia says it's mutter. So ultimately, Darash Rava halacha k'Rabbi Oshia, and again, Rava Darshin, that halacha is like Rabbi Oshia. Ultimately, again, that halacha l'maisa. And I will say, now that act is permitted. We'll have to stop over here because of time. But suffice it to say that halacha lemaisa, there is a gzeira of sechika samanim on Shabbos, right? That ultimately, again, I will say, obviously, please, if a person has a condition, that's not what we're talking about. But in general, we don't take medicine. We don't engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos out of a concern that you may come to crush or to grind herbs on Shabbos. That is the gzeira of refuah on Shabbos. That gezeira also applies to animals. The only exception to this rule is something that does not look like an act of medicinal healing. So for example, making your animal run back and forth so that its bowels loosen, defecates, and feel better. People run their animals all the time. So therefore, that doesn't look like refuah. Drinking a cup of tea because you have a sore throat is totally fine because it doesn't look like refuah. So things that don't look like refuah on Shabbos will ultimately, again, be permitted on Shabbos. But things that clearly look like refuah ultimately, again, will be prohibited. Right? So we have to stop over here. A lot more to do. I think I'm going to record probably at least part of the... We'll start from here. We'll be fine. We might as well start from here tomorrow. We'll start, hopefully, davening in just a few moments.